Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts Boyd and Lucinda for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is February 17th, 2010. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd, and our topic is, as always, The Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night as we talk with real people, hearing real stories and real changes. We listen to the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a fantastic show for you tonight with our guest known as Big John out of L.A. He is a former Blood gang member and now gang interventionalist and mentor. And we will talk with him about his life in the early days and what he's doing now. And I'd like to welcome my co-host, Boyd.
Hey, hey, what's happening, everybody? I'm glad to be here and glad to have my man Big John on the show. We're out from L.A. Me and my wife had the pleasure of meeting Big John out in L.A. and interviewing him for our TV show Change, which the show has been airing, so people has been hearing his Change right on our Change reality show as well. So we got him here tonight, as we promised the people across America, on the live radio show, internet, and we're going to go right into the show right now, and we're going to ask my man Big J to introduce himself formally, and we're going to get the show rocking and rolling. It's on you, Big J.
Hey, how you doing, my brother? My name is Big John. I'm out of Los Angeles. Like Lucinda said, former gang member, now a mentor and interventionist.
All right, Big J, we're going to cut right into it, man. Give the audience a little background about your lifestyle and how things kicked off with you as a young child.
Well, as a young man, I didn't have no reference point of what a man was. So my reference point was the gangsters and the pimps and the hustlers that sat right outside my window. So there was no way you could tell me what I was doing was wrong when everybody did it. You got praised for going to the penitentiary and going to college. So when someone says, well, how did you get into that? I always say association, gang affiliation. You don't have to tell me who you are. All I got to do is see who your friends are, and that'll tell me a lot about you. All my friends were red, and all my friends did things that would get you in that penitentiary. And so as a young man, I used to visualize going to the pen, and I made it there a few times.
So coming up in the neighborhood, you know, like you explained to the audience, Big J, you know, it was a glorification type thing when a cat went to the joint. That made him that big guy, you know what I mean, that everybody
Absolutely.
Looked up to and respected, like, oh, man, my man doing 3 or 4 years, he be stepping down in a minute. But at that time, when you going through that, Big J, what did your homies kept telling you every time you caught a case and went to the joint? What was the initial come home thing when you come home?
It was always hold your head up, and then when you get out, we got you. And meaning we got you mean, you know, if a dude was going to bless you with a sack or, you know, things of that nature to put you back in the game. When in reality, hell, you set me up for a suicide mission. But at the time, I didn't know any better, so I felt I had to do what I had to do. But in doing what I had to do, that was the wrong way.
Right. So can you
tell somebody
audience,
tell you something like that? Yeah, that was the wrong way. Go ahead.
Right. Can you tell the audience, how did you get involved with the Bloods and things like that? How did you initially get into that gang activity with them? Even though you seen them in your neighborhood outside your door, how did Big John get to hanging with the gang life?
Well, shit, it's like anything, man. These are buddies. You grew up with them. And at the time, you really not knowing. At the time, you know, you're growing up young, playing Pop Warner football, Little League, and next thing you know, you start noticing, well, wait a minute, everybody putting on red. And then when they put these on, you know, most young men visualize themselves having big cars and plenty of women. Well, the dudes who wore the red and the dudes that look like when you hear other people say they was thugs, well, those dudes who had everything. People who was going to work didn't have that. So
right.
I wanted to get like them. And so that's how I got involved.
Dig that. And can you explain to the audience some of the incidents that took place in your life that started making you want to change your life around? What took place in your life to make some of them thought patterns come in your mind, Big J?
Man, it was times, a couple of cases I almost got killed. It was just what they call janky stuff happening. I was sweeping in alleys, 14, 15 years old with pistols, living in alleys in enemy territory. It was a time where, like I said, I got shot in my head at 8 times and they missed. And at the time, my ex-wife was pregnant with my daughter. And they was trying to kill me. The lady in the back seat got shot.
Wow.
And just that daily life of just, it was a couple of situations where death was most definitely at my door. And, man, only thing I can say is through the grace of God, I'm still here. But it was when I was in the penitentiary, I almost killed a guy. And I started just thinking to myself, man, I felt I had a lot to live for. But up until that point, man, I was a train wreck, brother. I felt I didn't have nothing to live for. So if I had low self-esteem, I didn't feel good. I mean, everybody around me not feel good. So
right.
If I beat you halfway to death, so what? It came with it. And if you didn't like it, when you got right, we'd get it again.
Right. And that goes along with the territory of being in the gang life, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and when you first went to your first bit, Big John, can you explain to the audience what took place on your first bit going to the penitentiary and you experiencing that lifestyle?
I mean, you hear all these stories up in there, and when you first go, I didn't go to juvenile hall, none of that shit. I went straight to the penitentiary. And it's kind of scary, because you hear all these stories, but once you get up in there, I always say, if you're a shark, you're going to be able to handle yourself no matter where you go. And I'm not the goldfish. So when I went up in there, immediately I just had, I've always had a hostile and way about myself to where I'm not going to be the victim. So when I went up in there, it was scary. I had butterflies in my stomach, but at the same time, once you get in there, you navigate yourself through. Once you get with your homies and you hold your own and don't do no things that can get you in trouble, like talking to the police or doing little stupid stuff like horse flop. I stayed away from the penitentiary politics.
Right.
I did what I was supposed to do, and that's how you keep a good name, and that's how you be able to navigate your way through the penitentiary without having no problems.
Right.
I'm talking about problems like a dude getting beat up or raped or stuff like that. I never had those kind of incidents.
Right. Now, what led to the penitentiary, Big John, when you went? What led to it? What kind of wrong was you doing that led you into that penitentiary lifestyle?
Shit, trying to be the big man on the block. Putting work in as far as, selling that cocaine.
Right.
And I was the big man on the block. And eventually, it caught up to me because as a young man, I was never taught about ownership. I was never taught about bank accounts. So it stands to reason, if I got a big car, but I'm living in the projects, everybody on the county, I'm not working, hey, I'm a target. But as
right.
a young man, you don't know, and ain't nobody telling you, everybody cheering you on. You got all the cars, you got all the women, you're doing everything you want to do. But at the end of the day, I had to give it all back. Because I had to fight to make sure I didn't get 100 years in the penitentiary, and I only ended up with a couple.
Right, right. So I'm going to pass the mic over to the wife right quick, Big J, and she
okay.
can continue with it.
All right.
All right. Hi, John.
Hey.
Hey, what neighborhood did you grow up in? You're actually in L.A., not in Compton. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm in South Central East.
South Central, Southeast?
No, South Central on the east side.
Okay. And was your father in your life at all?
In the beginning, but he left when I was about 7 or 8 years old. He left.
Did you ever see him after that? Did you have any kind of a relationship
with him? Yeah, but he just didn't do nothing to aid and assist. Yeah, and the growth of me is becoming a man. He didn't do nothing in that department as far as giving me the right guidance and direction
right.
on what to do or not to do.
Right. And so you said that you didn't have, when you were in the gang, low self-esteem and nothing to live for. Did you feel like that before you got in the gangs, or you can just remember that you were just in a gang as far as you can remember all the way back? Because you were just...
I was like that, yeah, before you got in there. It was like that before you got in there, because at the end of the day, if you feel like, okay, you'll think to yourself as a young man, well, why did my pops leave? But then what you found was that the individuals that was around you, their daddies was gone also. So
right.
you all had this commonality as far as not having no daddies, and after a while, there's so much your mother can do
okay.
as you're growing up. I mean, when you get older, I mean, what is she going to do? After a while, you really can't do nothing.
Right.
So I got put out of the house when I was like 14 or 15, one of those years. I can't remember if it was 14 or 15, because I didn't want to listen. And even though my mother was a drug addict, or my dad, you know, they was out there, it's still, after a while, you just feel like you're your own man. And I had to go out there and go for what I know.
Right. So you just did what you were taught to do, kind of, and what you saw everybody else doing in your neighborhood.
Absolutely. I mean, it was like that even when it came to the women. I mean, you know, nowadays I would never put my hands on a woman, but growing up, I mean, I've seen women get their ass kicked all the time, and people say, oh, that's what you got to do. You know, it was a female who told me that, you know, females are like pennies. They were two-faced, they everywhere, and they worthless. That was a woman who taught me that. And so when
right.
I seen a man beat a woman up, that's what I thought you were supposed to do. And you couldn't tell me it was wrong because the woman always came back.
Right. And today,
so
looking back,
it was,
go ahead.
Yeah, today, looking back, I was an idiot.
But looking back now, you know, knowing what you know now, you know, do you find it, how do I want to say? I guess you can understand why the kids grow up doing what they do, because that's all they know. But then how do you let them know that there's something different and better out there? When that's all they know all their life, they've grown up in a gang, all their, you know, their parents are in the gangs, their grandparents are in the gangs, or, you know, and initially all these people are together to supposedly protect their neighborhood or protect their race or protect, you know, all these things, that it turns out to be negative and violent. And, I mean, how do we change that?
Well, it's like anything. Once you learn something, it's your job to go back in your community and teach someone else. I mean, if you grew up around somebody who are racist and he hate black people and he think all black people are murderers and thieves, and when they find out they're not, when somebody else gets the light, you're supposed to get somebody else and to say, hey, they're not like that, or some people are not like that. Same thing. If I get up now and go to work and I have a career with individuals who don't want to do this, live that lifestyle no more, and they want to make a change, you have to have the conduit or a vessel, somebody to help you get to where you can change your mind. If you can change your mind, then you can start on the right path of doing what's right to help you be a productive citizen of your community instead of destroying your community.
Right. And what do you think is like the strongest point that got you through all those teenage years, you know, when you were in those, living in the alleys and, you know, living on the streets? What do you think the one thing that got you through all that was?
Well, now I know it was God, but back then, just the fact that I don't have a victim mentality.
Right.
I don't have a goldfish mentality, so I swim like a shark. So even at a young age, I had a resistance to everything, meaning I'm not the one you're just going to do it to. I'm not the one that's going to be the dude that just get punked. That's not going to happen. So ever since I was young, I had that mentality where I always was a fighter. And if I felt that you was going to do it, I'd get you.
Right.
And so even back then, even when I was a young kid, I always just felt that, well, I can do it. If you can do it, I can do it. And
right.
That's what got me through that.
Did you have any one person back then that was your role model that you looked up to, even if it was a gang member?
Yeah, I had a couple of them. I mean, it was a couple of cats. I mean, I ain't going to name no names, but it was a couple of guys who I wanted to be like them because they had all the money.
Right.
So, we didn't want to be like the guy that had all the money and all the ladies.
Right.
Yeah, so those guys you wanted to emulate and do it like they did it and try to show them that you can hold your own. And so when I hung around the big dogs, I was holding my own. So when they put me down, I handled my business.
Right. I'm going to turn the mic over back over to Boyd for a minute.
Yeah, okay. That was a definite point right there, Jay, and we definitely feeling that tonight, man, and I definitely hope these young cats is listening to Big Jay tonight, because he definitely telling you the streets don't love you back from his whole point of view of living that gang, that thug life, that hustle life, you know. And we're going to come right back with my man Big Jay like we promised you, and we're going to go to a song right quick, The Streets Don't Love You Back. We'll be right back with my man Big Jay. Stay tuned.
What's up, what's up? This RB checking in with The Streets Don't Love You Back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD talking about that thug / drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that.
In these streets, no one's above you. In these streets, no one can touch you. In these streets, love if you want to. But know these streets, they don't love you, they don't love you.
Everybody's out here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life, and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. But when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you want to be, player. Cause the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our communities, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that, but once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you want to do, baby, but join the movement. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. Come on, come on.
In these streets, no one's above you. In these streets, no one can touch you. In these streets, love
yeah, yeah.
If you want
this track here is a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that done live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real freeway Ricky Ross. Jeff Step down May 4th, we sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing, you feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this.
There's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say, fuck the fence. Life is test, I gotta go and get him. Get caught up in moves. Shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home when pressure's on. We all alone when we born. We all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together. We can make it if we try. Can probably make it if you cry. But I hate it when you whine. And if all is true, it's us, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time. But maybe it's enough. But if it's not, then let me know. Cause I feel like I'm on bus. I'm overstuffed with propaganda. They should slander and lies, tried to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise, cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body, you can see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and ponder how to get ahead, jump out of bed paranoid, I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead, cause I just can't move, freestyle life off the head, cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seed. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals so you never stray away. Let the past be the past and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
let
on.
Let us all be checking back in with you. Like I said, it's that trap of knowledge. Let you young brothers and sisters understand that, hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game. That's all washed up. Let's get our life together. Let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LD. Let's do it. 100. Out.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, right back here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show with my man Big John straight out of Cali. And we're going to go to this commercial, the radio spot commercial, and we'll be right back with my man Big John.
The money, the rise to power, violence, gangs, drugs, death, self-destruction, prison. The true life story of Detroit kingpin Rob Boyd, a must-read book. This book will be available online worldwide to order at thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com, at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, indiebound.org, and borders.com. Also available in Detroit at Harlem World Books and Videos and at Human Bookstore on Frederick Douglass Boulevard. It's everywhere, so go ahead and order your autographed copy today. The streets don't love you back.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, right back here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show with my man Jay. And Big Jay, we right back at you, man. And
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We want to come at you, man, and we want to ask you, Big John, how did you get involved with your movement out there in Cali, man, the Second Call movement? Tell your audience, how did you get involved with that, man?
Well, man, one of the things that helped me was when I was in prison, man, it was some young brothers, man, who seen something to me I didn't see in myself, man. I'm telling you, man, I was gangbanging, man. I was doing stupid. I was robbing dudes, beating dudes. I was doing all kind of stupid stuff. And what happened was the dude owed me some money, and I didn't want to kill him. And so I told him, I said, hey, get me a position over in the maintenance thing, and I'll squash your debt. And so he did, and when he got me over there, it was this one cat, man, that the way he carried himself, man, I knew the brother was a man, even though I hadn't been exposed to manhood up until that time. And so when them dudes kind of straightened me up and taught me certain things I need to know as a man that I was never taught, I felt that it was my duty. When I left, the first thing they told me was, we have gave you all the tools to succeed. Now it's up to you. So I had to take that, and since then I've taken that same energy and brought it to the streets. And what happened was, I was out here doing it, and one day I just happened to go to a ceasefire meeting, and I was sitting in the meeting, and I met the brother Skip. And one day I went to one of his meetings, and I told him, they were talking about, you know, all the gang violence, and all. The only thing I knew was that the only way, if you want a man to put down his flag and his gun, you're going to have to give him something that's worthwhile doing. And I was already in a career as an electrician. And so at first he was kind of skeptical, but once we got it together, it was a match made in heaven. And so that's all we've been doing is getting brothers and sisters in these careers that want to change, and we the conduit to do it, brother. And so I just feel it's my duty to the very community I've destroyed. It's the very community I'm building up.
My man. And when you met Skip, you and Skip was in the same gang, but on different sides of town. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's from the west side. They were 20 Pine Rules. I'm on the east side, Bloodstone Villains.
Okay.
So, but we both was down moved, so hookup. It was all up. Yeah.
Right. It was
yeah.
The same hookup, but just on different sides of town.
Yeah, we all were red.
My man. And I just wanted to say, Big J, man, I wanted to congratulate you, man, first of all, right here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show, man, for making that change in your life, man, from coming from that lifestyle, from gang banging and robbing and doing other things and other ventures as well, you know what I mean? And we just want to congratulate you, man, for coming home and, you know, getting involved with that movement and giving back to the community, like you said, one that you helped destroy, you know. And we need more brothers and sisters that done come from that lifestyle to step up to the plate, because, you know, how long can you go in that lifestyle before you end up dead or in prison? You know what I mean? That's no lifestyle like you said on our TV show when we was in L.A. You show me one time that you can get a 401k retired from a gang.
Absolutely.
We all jump into California River.
Look, you show me a dude that pull out a card and it says blood permanente, and you can go to a hospital and got free health care, or a check where you get something that tells you, good work service, here's $1,500 a month for your service as a gangster. Shit, you figure that out, I'll stop doing what I'm doing.
Right, and I'll be the first one in line.
Absolutely. You show me one successful pimp. You show me one successful hoe. You show me one successful dope dealer. Show me one successful gangster that live a life and got a retirement and got health care and benefits. Then shit, we can all put that down and go back to doing what we were doing. But I don't think you're going to find one.
Not nowhere in no country.
Man, there ain't one in no country, no land, nowhere, man.
Right. The biggest gangster in America, and we all know that, is the government. And they ain't going nowhere.
Absolutely.
Period.
They write the laws that benefit them, absolutely.
Thank you. So,
you know,
that's the biggest gangster in the world, you know. You cannot beat them.
And at the end of the day, you know, it might be somebody out there thinking, man, that they got a better plan. Man, it ain't shit they doing. It ain't been done before.
Right.
And you ain't got to listen to what we saying right now. When you get to that point to where I was at, then you're going to remember the conversation.
Exactly. And like I tell cats all the time, you know, you ain't the first guy who picked up no pistol and no sack of dope, man. You know, cats been doing that way before me and John was born and way before the next man was born. And you look all through history and ain't now one of them made it to the finish line. A lot of them done made it close to the motherfucking finish line, but close ain't good enough as a win. You feel me?
Nah, man. I mean, it's like the monkey and the banana, man. They put the banana in the cage. As soon as you grab that banana, they put the cage on you.
Right,
so,
and then it's game over.
You ain't
over.
Paying attention. Yeah, you're a pork chop. And so, and at the end of the day, selling dope is for an idiot anyway. That's for a lazy dude. It's easy for somebody to go sell dope.
Right. That ain't nothing but to sit on the chair all day.
Man, I mean, how come it couldn't be no, you know, look at Madoff. The brother, you know, he had a scam.
Right, right.
The brother Madoff had a scam.
I want to iterate on him, too, Big John. He had a scam that he could have set down, you know what I mean, long time ago.
So then
you know
that's,
what I mean?
And see,
he got greedy. He got greedy,
and
God wanted to expose him. God wanted to expose him.
And that's what happened to us.
Because he started,
you know,
messing over too many people. Right.
Same thing.
And
Same thing.
We got $10 million in the bank. We got $10 million sitting at the house, or $1 million sitting at the house, and we still talking about where my pack at.
Man, it's the same dude to get 1 kilo, then he want 100.
Right.
The same dude, he's sitting up there, he want to get greedy, so instead of just keeping a low profile, you want to go buy the Bentley.
Right. Knowing you stand in the project, like you said.
Yeah,
knowing
you're
in the project. No garage.
Come on, man. Yeah. You know, riding around and phoning $50,000 in your pocket, it's all money that ain't been taxed, man. You going to the penitentiary, partner. And
real
then
fast.
The ones who are riding out there like that, and if the youngsters don't know no better, looking up to these dudes, some of those dudes are snitches. Because there's no way in the hell you can ride around like that without going to the penitentiary. And if you're not going, you tell them on somebody.
Right, you working with the people. You working with them people.
You working with the police, man. Any dude that's young that don't know no better, and
he'll
you think
that's
dude
that
is
guy.
Your, he look out for you, man. That dude, tell him on your ass, man.
Right. And see, if they look at their history, Big John, and they look at some of these real true life story movies that come on, it shows you how the government get these cats to flip over. And, you know this cat done got caught with 5 or 10 of them things. You feel me?
Yeah.
And he back
and
out
he
with
out of
the
jail
Benz.
The next day.
With the Benz this time, you know what I mean? He ain't even riding Pinto no more. This nigga got a Benz now. You feel me? Back in the hood talking about what's up.
Yeah.
Back in the hood talking about what's up. Right, what's up? Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, you got to drop in the city. He the only dude with some work. Come on, man.
Right. And here go a fool running up talking about, hey, man, I need some of that. You know what I mean? And he finna get some of that, too. Some of them wide taps, and he finna get some of that gate. That's the oldest failure in American history, man, I feel, as far as trying to sell drugs, being a thug and all that. And it's dumb and it's ignorant. And it's about, you know, getting your life together. And if you ain't trying to get your life together, you might as well go on down to whatever state you stay in, to the police station, and tell them to give you your key to your cell, because that's where you're going if the graveyard don't catch you first. So that is just a word to the wise, you know. And I'm going to pass the mic over to the wifey again and let her get her words in. All
right.
Well, I just wanted to also give our deepest sympathies out to one of your peers getting interventionalist there in L.A., Mr. Ronald Lamont Barron, known as Lee, was murdered just about a week and a half ago from a tagger. I'm not sure if it was I assume a tagger is a gang member. He was coming out of a bar, I guess, after watching a Super Bowl game and just confronted a tagger for painting on a wall. And I believe now they found out that it was a 16-year-old Hispanic male that just pulled a gun on him and shot him. And I guess he died by the time he got to the hospital. I know his funeral was today, and just, you know, we give you guys out in L.A. our deepest sympathies. You know, we didn't know him, but you know, as we all work in the same area and try to, you know, keep the kids out of gangs, you know, we really feel for him and for all of you.
The brother was a strong dude. Yeah.
What can you tell
us? The brother was doing the work. Yeah, he was doing the work out here for sure.
Right. He used to be a member of the Mansfield Crips when he was younger, but he got out of it and then turned to be an interventionalist. What can you know much about him that you can tell?
The brother was he was a true champion for peace, and that was a young man who would try to get at guys that wore the color we wore, and to sit and be able to sit at the same table with the brother, and know that the man's heart was in the right place and his mind was in the right place, and for him to lose his life like that, it was just a tragic day. It was just sad all the way around the board, because the brother was truly, he wasn't one of those guys who was sane, that he was an interventionist and still was out there gangbanging. The brother truly believed in uniting each side of the fence and making it as one and do the work in peace. And the brother was just a champion for peace. The brother was well-loved. Everyone knew where his heart was. Everyone knew what he was trying to do. And that was a blow when we heard that the brother was murdered. That hurt.
Right, and here go a young fool. You know what I mean? Taking on something that he don't even realize what he's done touched, you know?
Yeah.
And see,
it, man. He took a guy's life over, let me see, how much do a can of paint cost? Maybe $2.50?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So over $2.50 and spray paint something on the wall, he killed a man over that spray paint in the wall because the man told him, hey, man, that's not what we do in our community. This is my community, and we don't spray paint on walls. We about peace. And the brother turned around and did what he did.
And once again, Big John, the brother don't even realize what he's done or what he's done touched.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
And you know, when he really get in them gates where he really going, then he will realize what he's touched.
Yes, sir.
Because
it's
not going to be a pretty picture for him.
No, what people fail to realize, man, the older you get, your conscience, and see, I'm not talking for nothing I read. There's certain things that I've done in my life where it'll wake me up sometimes. And so for people who act like, you know, when I was young, I didn't care. I didn't give a fuck. So
at all.
But as I'm older and I'm getting wiser, now I have a conscience, and there's certain things that you just say, wow, I can't believe I've done that. Or, you know,
man,
you
will
think
to say
about
that.
It.
I got to go along with you on that, Big J. You feel me? Because there's some things I wake up on myself and I ain't even sleep sometime, and I just sit back and, you know, I look up at the ceiling in my spot and I be saying, dang, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, because really,
yeah.
You know, it hurt me, man, inside, because I be like, damn, I didn't realize that I was cold-hearted like that. You feel me?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So I'm definitely feeling you on that, brother. I'm feeling you with two arms and two legs on that one.
Absolutely, brother.
You know?
I mean, and I tell cats, man, I'm like, if you don't know, don't start, because
man, please don't start.
Me, I mean, I I'm supposed to be dead, but since how I'm living, a person might look at me and say, "Oh man, that brother's, you know, he doing this, he dressed nice, he doing these things." But brother, you don't know the pain that I've been through. You know the things that I've done,
right?
To where I have done things to where, I should be dead. Or,
right.
You know, as they say, they made a deal with something. You sit up there saying, "Man, I used to do that."
Right.
And
you
so
know,
somebody
like,
see you, they see you, yeah.
Yeah, it's like when people see you, they look at John for now, but not knowing where he came from to be where
they
he at
now. They don't know where I came from, and they don't know
right.
nothing I've done. I mean, if I'm sitting there smiling, you don't know, I might be crying on the inside.
Right.
But
and I say the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I
say
the
same thing, Jay.
Yeah. So the best I can do is say, "Hey, look, man, I'm going to stay in my lane and tell you what helped me and certain things that I've done, because I understand what you might be going through."
Right.
But, okay, at the end of the day, the world is still turning. I still got to pay this house on. I got to get up and go get it. But
right.
there are reference points to things that I have done in my life to where, man, I can't do that again. I'm not doing that.
Right.
You know?
Because you,
you
know, hey, boy, listen. Hey, cause, hey, sometimes, Big J, people talk to me, right? And,
right.
and you know, sometimes, man, I mean, I have to say to myself inside when they be like, "Oh, you such a nice guy, Mr. Boyd, and oh man, you know, you think very positive, this, that, and the other."
Yeah.
And boy, I'd be like in my mind, I'd be like, "Boy,
yeah."
I'd be like, "Thank God that I am positive
yeah.
now." You know,
absolutely,
what I mean?
Absolutely.
I was,
see,
you know, once that cold-hearted man.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I tell people, I say, "Look, man, I know what it is to have a heart like it's not there. The only reason why you got it because it's helping you breathe. But at the end of the day." When I say cold blood, I'm talking about with capital letters, all boy, without even blinking.
Right.
Without
no periods on
the
end of
it. I'm talking about no periods, no nothing. I'm talking about stood tall on it and stood right
man.
There in it and was like, and ruled with an iron fist. It was a dictatorship. Ain't no damn democracy.
Right. Right. Like, like below zero weather, you know?
Absolutely. And stand
man.
Up there at attention.
You know,
period.
Hey, you know, like my man said, knee deep, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
absolutely.
Man, it's a pleasure, man, to, like I say, really kick it and talk to cats, man, that been there, did that, and actually made
yeah.
that change in their life, man,
yes,
you know, because these young cats, they really don't have the idea and history, man, on what it is to be one way, man, and then you blessed it, you know what I mean, do something else, because they just look at, "Oh, I want to be like Superfly on TV, or I want to be like my man down the street," you know what I mean, and they don't know what my man down the street done been through, you know? And you got cats that ain't never been in the hustle world, ain't never been in the ghetto. You know what I mean? Mama and daddy done worked all their life, and here they come down there trying to be like us. Come on, man. Get back up on the hill, man. What is you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know
yeah. Going to school, player.
Right, now
yeah.
you're trying to be a follower, bro. This is what we do down here, man.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, your
yeah.
mom and daddy got everything, bro. You don't know nothing
mm-hmm.
about down here. So that was a turning point for me, man, when I had to send them young cats back home out in the suburbs, because you down here, mm-hmm. bud, and about to get had down here, man. You don't know
what's
about
up?
This down here, man. This is a jungle down here, bro. You
yeah.
know? And anything
hey, you know,
goes.
Survive. Yes,
right.
Sir.
I can't watch you, bro. If I leave out the
mm-hmm.
neighborhood, I can't watch you, because these cats going to eat you up, bro.
Absolutely.
You
gonna
ain't
be
from
child.
Here.
You're going to be the goldfish.
Right, and they don't know you, first of all. And you down here
yeah.
with all this nice shit on and don't
yeah.
sell nothing, you know? So,
yeah.
young cats, listen to what John and me saying. You know, if you ain't never lived that lifestyle, don't be trying to
that's
live
right.
that lifestyle. You know, if you come from that lifestyle, you don't have to be of that lifestyle. You know what I mean? Because I know plenty of cats, and you probably do too, Jay, that come from the hood like we did, and they didn't go our way. You feel me? They made something
right.
out they self. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it ain't all the time because you come from the ghetto, you remain of the ghetto. You know?
Hell
it's
no.
just sometimes people just go into their own thing because of certain things happen when you're in the hood. But there's so many
mm-hmm.
people makes it out the hood because they have focus, they have mentality, and they have somebody in their ear, you know, the right way, you know.
And
so,
a true success is when you get there to help somebody else.
Amen, you know. So, like, ladies and gentlemen, we kicking it tonight with my man, Big John, out of Cali, and we got the conversation on, and it's going strong, you know. We're going to go kick it with a new song called Change, and we're going to be right back with my man Big J right here at the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Stay tuned. Change in effect.
Boy, record. Young Struggle.
In my life, wanna make a change, but they just ain't close. Put some lyrics down, and now I'm selling legal dope. On the streets, trying to make that green, but it wasn't easy. Shit I was doing wasn't too set up on being sleazy. But I got past that stage, I had to bail. Living life was hell, but went 5 times in the county jail. That was a wake up call, but did I listen? Doing grown up things that extra change. Sure ain't what you're missing. Boy, I can't help it, but sometimes I have to cry. Going through all these changes in my life, and I don't know why. The situation's getting stronger, and it's taking longer. Just tell me, how long do our babies have to die from hunger? It seems like everything is coming to an end. Will I lose my life, lose my babies, or go to the pen? I don't know, so I got to make it better for myself. Selling tracks and stacking cream is the way to wealth. That's what a woman like me thinks about, baby. Trying to make a change, because things for me is getting really shady. I'm on the road to ecstasy and so much envious. With all them buses and them hoes, I know I can't trust. So many haters in this world trying to keep me down. But I stay up, keep a smile instead of a frown. Only roll with niggas that keep it real every day. Getting paid, count up that cheddar, it's the only way to survive in what this world has in store for me. Adolescent mother in this crazy ass democracy. Play myself, I think not, because I've been there twice. Trying to make it better for myself than being more precise. So I'ma strive just as long as I can stay alive. Keep the faith and let my babies know that it's alright. But sometimes cry, but sometimes I know it hurts. I may not be the best mother, but see, I do it worse. On the grind, out of bag, gotta keep my shit in motion. Step by step, and I'll be moving just like the ocean. And I will fly, but some that might just seem to rain. Not for me, because I gotta get up out.
Who let me drop some on this track and put my two cents in it? How I had to make a change in my life before I finished. Hung with thugs, these pushers and hustlers, just through your riches. I'm still living the life while others locked up in prison. So listen, the shit that I did was illegal, but I'm not going in depth with you people, so let me do what I gotta do. It really doesn't matter who don't like my change. Stay away from me if it bothers you, cause I won't get mine. You better change yours. You say it's open opportunities, but all I see is closed doors. Cause my LIFE had me in a state of misery. Made me wanna go back in my past and change my history. Struggle, definition of shit that I was going through. Living out my life just like the Romans do. See, I'm a rep without a pause, a nigga with brass balls. Trying to keep my head above the water before I fall. Because my life was like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under with this lightning and this thunder. My mind be drifting up on some psychopathic shit, but I'm not a killer, so let me keep it on the rhythm. All that I know that there's a change gon' come. I'm living my life from where I'm at, yeah, not from where I'm from.
Change my people.
One coming up, but I'm gonna put some niggas in the dirt. It's gotta make a change.
We must put down the guns. Let's make this change.
Here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show with my man Big J out of Cali, and we right back at Big John. Big John, I want to just ask you, man, can you enlighten the people on everything that you're doing now with the Second Call Movement, and if you have a website, and then after that, then I'm going to ask you another question.
Okay.
We
just
have a call.
Well, we're doing Second Call. One of the things we're doing, you know, of course we do the hardcore gang intervention, but one of the main things we do, we help the young men and women, once they go through the 16-week course of dysfunctional family, now we get them ready to go out there for careers, because there's some things you got to work through before you go out there. Some individuals might not know how to work through alcohol abuse, low self-esteem, dysfunctional family. You need those kind of coping skills to when you go out there to be successful, you need somebody that can help guide you. So we drive the car, and after a while, we feel you know how to drive, we let you take over and drive. And so that's one of the things we do. You know, so that's one of the main things we do in the community, because in our community, the difference between our community and the community that might be a so-called well-to-do community is that they have somewhere to go to talk their problems on, someone to help them, guide them, and navigate them through life, whereas in the jungle I come out of, you just had to figure it out. I mean, you couldn't go to one of your homies and say, hey, man, I feel depressed. But when you look at the symptoms of depression, it's a lot of brothers and sisters that suffer from that in the community.
Right.
So at our round table, we bring that stuff to the table, and you get to come as free of charge, and you get to sit at a table and basically learn from everybody else's experiences and hope that you can become a better person. And then
exactly.
With that, we can get you to climb that ladder and be a successful individual, starting off in your mind, and then you don't have to leave your community. You start in your community, and that's what you do. You help better your community.
Exactly. The wife said we had a call on the line, so go ahead with the caller, huh?
Okay. There you go.
Caller, you on the air. Yeah, caller. Okay, I guess they just listening in, Big J. Do you have a website they can go to, John?
Yeah, you can go to www.secondcall.org.
All right, you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? www.secondcall.org, and any information you need is right there on the website. And once again, Big John and his main man, Monster, right?
Yeah, Monster and Skip Townsend.
Right, and Skip Townsend. Yeah, I mean, them three is running the show with the Second Call and Gang Intervention out there in California. So if you're in the California area and you need any of that assistance, like Skip said on my TV show, Me and the Wife, if you're illiterate, say you're illiterate. If you need some help,
absolutely,
say you need some help.
Absolutely.
If you got low self-esteem, say you got low self-esteem, you know, because nobody's going to laugh at you, because everybody done been there and did that, you know what I mean? And they just reaching out to help you as an individual yourself, you know? And like John said, you know, in other neighborhoods that's prosperous, they got people to talk to them, you know what I mean? But in the hood, you know, you can't go to your homeboy and say, hey, man, I'm depressed, because he's going to look at you and say, man, look, get a grip, you know what I mean? He ain't even going to understand that, because he's going through the same thing
you
going through. Right, he's going through the same thing you going through, you know what I mean? He just don't want to tell you. So,
see, that's one of the things that's why people get in trouble. That's why people get in trouble, because if I felt I wasn't shit, then that means anybody who I came in contact, if you dealt with me, then you must be the same way.
Right. You know, so, you know, we want people to understand out here that, you know, Second Call is definitely out helping people, and we definitely want y'all to get involved if you're anywhere in the California area.
Absolutely.
And if you need to call Second Call, give them a number, Big John, where they can call into your office if they need that kind of help.
Area code 310-608-3721.
All right. You got that, ladies and gentlemen. And we definitely want you to keep tuning in. And once again, my man Kenny, my man Big John, my man Skip Townsend, they all down on the Second Call crew, you know what I mean? That's their thing, and they definitely being innovators and motivators out there in California area. So definitely call them, log on to the website. You got good homies that done been there, lived that, did that, and them the best people to tell you about that shark and fish world. You know, if you ain't been there, you can't tell nobody nothing. So you want to talk to the people who done swam in that ocean, you feel me, and made it to dry land. You know, you ain't trying to talk to the man that jumped in off the boat and he sunk before he even got away from the boat, because he can't tell you too much except he sunk. That's all he could tell you.
Yeah.
So you got to talk to a man who made it to right. You got to talk to a man who made it to dry land. You feel
me? Absolutely. That was all 2 feet.
Right. It's either two things he was doing when he made it to dry land. He was running faster than the shark was behind him, or he was just a man that was swimming real fast. So either way it go, he made it to the shore, and he dusted himself off, you know what I mean? And he made a change, you know? So any what would you tell these youths out here, Big John? What advice would you give these cats, man? Tell them something good.
And the main thing I would tell a young cat is two things. The first thing is, if you don't have what you want out of life, that means you didn't put 100% into it. And the second thing is, pay attention to the detail. You got to ask yourself one question. Is what I'm doing going to cause me harm, danger, or hit me in the penitentiary? And if you can answer one of those three questions, you're doing the wrong thing. You need to be asking yourself, is what I'm doing going to help me live longer, put me in a place where I can have a house over my head and I can raise a family without going to the... And if you're doing that, then you stay on the right path. I don't care if you are working at a hamburger stand. It don't matter. If you're doing something where it's not going to get you a fresh can to get dead, you're on the right path. And then whatever you want out of life, you don't put 100% into it, you're not going to get it. So if you put 40% into it, that's what you're going to get out of it.
My man. And once again, Big J, do you got any shout-outs you'd like to give any of your homies out there in Cali?
Oh, man, of course, all my boys on the east side. I'm a villain homeboys. Much love, Stone Love. And then also to Second Call Organization. Things
my
that we're
man.
Doing is beautiful. I mean, it's going to be worldwide one day.
My man.
Second Call is
going to
be like McDonald's.
It's definitely going to be worldwide because you skipping and Monster is making it happen. You feel me?
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
Like I say, we interviewed you skipping Monster when we was out there, and me and the wife had a true pleasure on coming out there meeting everybody, you know, and it was through Skip Townsend.
You too, brother, you and your wife.
Yeah, it was through Skip Townsend that it all jumped off, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
We got to throw him mad love for making that happen.
Oh, man, that's brother. That's great right there.
Oh, yeah, that's my man, and we got to show him mad love on the phone,
absolutely.
Especially, you know what I mean, like I say, you and Monster as well, because we had a great, great conversation, man, and we definitely moving and grooving out here to let these young cats know that the streets I'll never love them back. And if you can, like you said, say them three things, you know what I mean, and you ain't, your agenda ain't to go to the penitentiary, well, you must be doing good. But if your agenda
absolutely.
On there saying to the joint, you in the wrong business. You ain't trying to be McDonald's or Wendy's. You feel me?
You got to do a foul face, brother.
Right.
Yeah,
you got to do flips, about face, and you got to do a, you know what I mean, a second look, because evidently
absolutely.
Your paperwork is mixed up in your file, B.
Well, like we always say, man, they got the game on backwards.
Right.
You
the shirt
on
backwards.
Man.
Like they wear them hats. The shirt on backwards and the hat is definitely on backwards. You feel me?
Yeah.
You might well crease the hat to the side, my brother, and just go ahead and live sideways. You feel me?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing, man. We always want to let people know, man, that no matter what you're doing, no matter where you're at in your life. Now, another thing a person has to understand is that just because you change your life don't mean you don't reap what you sow.
Amen. Say that again, good brother.
Just because you say turn your life around, it does not mean you will not reap what you sow. The difference between the goldfish and the shark is that the shark can handle that storm when it comes, because it will come. When you turn your life around, you're going to have to own up to the things that you have done, and
Amen.
You just got to be able to hold on.
Right, because, like you said, the goldfish, he done already got swallowed up. You feel me?
Yeah, he done.
And we don't see him in the river right now. He's gone.
Nah, he's gone.
Me?
I mean, you got to be able to take them bumps and bruises, and it's all right to get knocked down. Just don't get knocked out.
My man, don't be the Ollie Shuffle. Don't get the rope-a-dope on you. You feel me? Because then your ass is out. You feel me? If
you're
Ali
done.
Come up on you with the rope-a-dope, you're done.
Yeah.
So please
no
don't let him get up on you. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So,
hey,
Todd,
what
go ahead,
do you tell the kids here about loyalty in the game?
I mean, loyalty is that's the thing you cannot buy. I mean, but don't get me wrong. In neighborhoods, you will have some of your partners that have the same creed that you have. They will be loyal. And you got some other cats who they was brought up around disloyalty, and they don't understand it. And those are the guys you really got to watch out for, because those are the guys who will get you set up. They get you in the penitentiary, and they tell on you. I mean,
amen.
Unfortunately,
say that one again, John.
Yeah, they set you up and tell on you, get you killed, and they be screwing your bra. having babies
same
by your
brother talking
baby
about that's your guy.
Yeah, same,
the same one saying
absolutely.
That's your homie.
Absolutely. So, you know, friendship is earned,
you
and you
never
can
know.
Always tell a person.
I hate that kind of life.
Say again?
You never know who's going to turn on you in that kind of life.
Well, in any life. I mean, even out here in the working life, you got guys who, what I say, they like to live up under the table, which means they'll sell their mama down the river just to move up in promotion. I stay away from cats like that, too. Even though they're not in gangs, they still have that snake-like way.
They had a white-collar hookup.
Absolutely, absolutely. So no matter who you are, you can always tell somebody by their habits. And if you got a habit of being disloyal and stabbing somebody in the back and not being there for a brother
way.
When it's time for them to eat,
you're
going to
be that way.
Yeah, if you snitching and that dude who trying to hit on your guy's girl because she being nice to you, you think she's fainting you when he's behind his back, you trying to hit on this girl, man, you a snaky dude. Stay away from him kind of cat.
Right, because that kind of cat get his hat killed real fast.
Man, that's the same dude who's gonna be like, hey, they over here, this is what they doing, and that's gonna be the same dude that's gonna get you killed.
Right. And I wish you could have heard this other young man that we had on the radio. I think it was a week before last, Jimmy the Saint, man, you know what I mean? And his story was overwhelming, man, on how his homeboy, cat he grew up with from Mud Pies, you feel me? Turned him into them people, man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And had him set up and shot, what, 10 times, bae?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shot
but
10 times,
you,
man.
And
but I can guarantee you, I can guarantee you that in that story, though, if he really think about it, it was sometime in his life where that dude showed that kind of character.
Right, but
he didn't
see it, though.
Yeah, he wasn't paying.
Or he didn't think
like
it would happen to him.
Right. I mean, it's like a female who get with a dude, and then when you meet him, he ain't taking care of his first set of kids, but then you have some kids by him, then you get mad because he ain't taking care of your kids. What the hell, man, you think he's going to take care of you if you never took care of them?
Amen. Now, you got to say that one again, big scream now.
I'm telling you. So young ladies got to pay attention. If you get with a dude, and he's sitting up there, and she tripping, he ain't taking care of his kids, and then you turn around and have some kids by him, and then you get mad. What the hell, man, you think he's going to change with you? No, you just a fresh piece of ass. That's all it is.
Right. And he's sitting at home playing Nintendo all day, eating popcorn, drinking beer.
Nintendo.
Man, please.
I tell women all the time. If you want to know what kind of man you got, get around his friends. That'll tell you a lot about the kind of man that you have. If you can't go to his house and he ain't living on his own, you're going to have yourself a little problem right there. Because at the end of the day, for the ladies who, that
he had his homeboy's house with the Nintendo
yeah.
game all day long.
Yeah, for the ladies who think the thug going to do something, hell, hey, after a while, that little thing going up and you ain't going to be able to pay that rent.
And the thug gone. You know what I mean? The thug life is over.
he beating up somebody else's guts. He looking for another female who ain't paying attention to the detail.
Right.
You know, if it don't add and multiply in your life, you shouldn't be dealing with it, period.
Amen. You know?
Okay.
So, hey, we definitely loving John tonight. You feel me? And any more words, wifey?
I'd just like to thank everyone who's listening tonight. And you can go back anytime and listen to this episode on our website at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. You can listen to the show anytime, 24/7, as well as any other shows that we've had on as well. We'd like for you to join us next Wednesday night. We're going to talk with one of Big John's colleagues, Kenny Smith, who is also one of the founders of the Second Call organization out in Compton and also a former gang member. So we'll talk with him next week. And remember what Big John says, you know, tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. So tell me to hang around and I'll tell you who you are. My dad used to tell me that growing up also, you know. So you just got to be careful, you know, who you hang around and who you choose to be your friends because they do influence you, whether you think they will or not. Or, you know, maybe you'll influence them, but, you know, it's one way or the other. So.
And the good thing about it that when you have friends, they will enhance your visions or the foes that choke the life out of it. So friendship is essential to the soul. That's why it's important that your character stand tall so when somebody get around you that's faulty, you can weed their ass up.
Amen. Amen.
Your friends are not going to put you in jeopardy of anything either. They're not going to have
they
you do anything that will hurt you.
Well, they're going to enhance your vision. Whatever your plight is in life, they're going to help you get there. Whereas the enemy and the hater and the backbiter and the shady bastard, he's going to try to get you flipped off.
Amen. And they interested in succeeding in no part of the mission,
know? That's them haters, man. You know, that's them haters. I stay away from that.
Yeah,
all the guys I'm around, man, I mean, it's love, man. And you ain't got to worry about no brother trying to talk to your woman or trying to hate on none of that, man. We don't do none of that, man.
Because everybody got their own woman, you know what I mean, and got their own movement going, you know what I mean? And that's the key to life, man, when you're with people that's on the same accord. Because you get one that's jumping off the banjo wagon and the other one jumping off the roof. Now, they on a whole different page of life right there, you know what I mean? Yeah. So we love
the
life,
man. Respect,
man. Right,
that's
bottom line.
At the end of the day, it's respect.
And if you can't respect the game and yourself, then ain't no sense in even living, for real. That's what I used to always say. If you can't respect yourself and nothing else, you might well go ahead and, bury your own self.
Do us a favor.
You know?
Yeah, do us a favor. And you're a useless eater.
Right, my man, you know. So, Big J, we appreciate you tonight, man. And once again, we want to give a shout-out to Cali, you know what I mean, to my man Skip Towns and Monster, you know what I mean, Big J, you know what I mean, my man Freeway, Rick Ross, you know what I mean, and everybody out there in the hood. And we want to let everybody know, order that Streets Don't Love You Back calendar, you dig, at www.lulu.com, that's LULU.com, and order that Streets Don't Love You Back calendar. You need that in your office, you need it in your house. You might even need one in your car. You heard me? So get that.
Yes, sir.
And also order the Streets Don't Love You Back ebook there as well.
Yes, you can. The ebook is in effect now too, ladies and gentlemen. You can order that too at lulu.com or the Streets Don't Love You Back name.com. And let's keep it positive. Let's keep it real. And once again, we appreciate my man Big J for coming on the show. And we're gonna take it out with the wife and the last song, her favorite song of the night, and then we're going to say peace and love and harmony, and always remember, the streets don't love you back.
Don't love you back. Good night.
Yeah. LD.
You know, far too often, we look back in hindsight and wish, say, I wish I just had one more chance. This is it. This is it. That second chance. Fuck now. I woke from a dream feeling like I could scream once I realized that I'm still here. And sometimes these regrets won't let me forget that I done let down the best of my years. But you can see the drive in my eyes and the hint of surprise, because I haven't served up to fear. And with my chance in the sky high, so the sunshine, life is on the line with no place to be. As I'm in need of a change, maybe from the inside out. Let these two up for the rain to try to shut my mouth. I done seen a lot of things that I've never talked about. If I could do it all again, I never let them in my house. I done made some mistakes, apologize and reconcile. I done changed all my way from what I was as a child. Stood on my mama, great rain pour down from the clouds. Dropped to my knees and prayed I'd have a reason to smile. I was a young looking hard, running around in these streets, chasing girls, thought I learned all the world had to teach. But one day I lost weight, realized I didn't know it, and it hit me like a brick. Wish I could do it all again, but I can't, and I ain't. Anyway, I rant and rave, write my future like a book. As I turn another page, as the lights go down, I walk across the stage, rub the law full up. But more importantly, I pray that everything will be okay. And somehow I know it is. All I gotta do right now is get through this bullshit. Keep my chin to the sky, bring my back against the wall. Fuck out, I will fight, scratch and claw, and still stand tall in the belly of the beast. Be afraid of nothing in this world has got to be. Sometimes I still slip if I forget my cleats, but that's why I hit my knees soon as I leave the sheets. There's no more waiting. Life is not a game. Sometimes you might not get a second chance. Life.
just what you got. Don't be jealous of others. Do for your damn self.